Welcome back to this afternoon's session, and I'm going to talk to you briefly about a triage system that was developed in Manchester, but that's certainly spread much farther than that and is now both a national and international system. The Manchester triage system was developed as a consensus by a group of both emergency nurses and emergency care physicians back in 1997. We published the first edition. And almost immediately, because we've developed this five-level triage and a national scale for assessing patients within the emergency department, up until this time, we'd had no one way of triaging patients. And really, we just had a number of individual triage systems that really were not well, they were not well developed. And it was very difficult also to teach these systems to other emergency nurses. Really, it would just be very dependent on watching other experienced nurses. So for the very first time, we developed the five-level triage. We had a robust methodology of triage, and we also had a way of training, auditing, and developing nurses to become quite expert triage practitioners. From our original time, we actually developed the system just for 9 hospitals within the Greater Manchester area because we were we wanted to have a standardised system. I presented this at one of our national emergency nursing forums, and within 1 year, practically the whole of the United Kingdom had adopted the Manchester triage system. I think such was the need, and it wouldn't necessarily have had to be Manchester triage. It was just the fact that we were the first to have developed this system. Since then, I feel as though I've been to all parts of the world teaching this system, and certainly within Southern Ireland, within ERA, within Portugal, parts of Holland, it has been adopted as the national system. Certainly in Portugal, it has the endorsement of the Portuguese government, and hospitals have to franchise the Manchester triage system, and they also have to have their practices audited nationally on a monthly basis to be able to continue to use the system. So there's a significant amount of control over how they use that. Because of the hospitals in Holland, they're using the system then. This has spread to 1 or 2 units in Belgium. It's now through Sweden, and there are pockets in New Zealand and Australia. We even found the book translated into Japanese. I have no idea whether it looks like the original thing or not. That was purely an accident. One of our physicians went to work in Japan, came back and said to me, "I'm sure this is the Manchester triage book." And we hadn't actually given them permission to translate the book and sell it, but I was quite pleased that they'd taken the initiative in the first place. So what are the essential components? There are some important building blocks to, in terms of managing the Manchester triage system. First of all, it was developed by a consensus view, and I know that that's felt that this is fairly low-level evidence, but there is no evidence, really, of the best triage system, and I know that since we developed ours back in the sort of mid-1990s, that there are many other systems out there. I think we're all probably talking about the same type of system, but maybe with different elements. Manchester triage is not a disposal system for patients. If you want to find an endpoint for your patients and dispose of them within the hospital or out with the hospital, this system does not facilitate that. This basically takes through a series of presentation flow charts, the patient presentation, there are 50 charts, and the nurses use a series of both general and specific discriminators, and as soon as they pick on, does the patient have, if the answer is yes, then the patient automatically defaults to that clinical priority. So I'll show you an example of the chart in a minute. So to reach a patient clinical priority, you have to be able to ask the right questions, and you have to be able to assess the patient rapidly. Okay, so 50 presentations. This is not a difficult system, and I think some of the very simplest ideas are often the best ideas. There is nothing complex about this at all, and I think that's why it helps facilitate rapid and very accurate triage of patients. So 50 presentations, 186 discriminators to choose from, which are specific to the charts, and the patient will be given 1 of 5 different clinical priorities. And this is basically what the charts look like. It's a reductionist methodology, so all the patients start at the top. And the first category, the red category, is the most emergent category. So all those patients in an arrest state, patients who are not breathing, not controlling their own airway, or in severe shock, will automatically come out into that category. The second, which is the orange or priority two, are those patients who need to be seen within 10 minutes. So these would be, as an example, patients with loss of consciousness, patients with potential myocardial infarction, certainly cardiac chest pains, that have the potential to become red within a very short space of time. Priority three patients will need to have to be definitively managed within 1 hour. The vast majority of patients are usually the medically and surgically unwell patients that go into this category that do not have that life-threatening emergency. Patients in category four, the times that I'm giving you are probably arbitrary times, seeing as though no patient waits more than 4 hours in our emergency department, but these were the national targets that were set back in the late 1990s when we developed the system. The non-urgent category, which is the green category, are those patients with minor injury, minor illness, that we deem can wait for some considerable time and their condition would not deteriorate. And the blue category were patients who there was very little that we could do for them. They were probably in the wrong place and looking for the wrong parts of the service. So very often those patients are triaged back out to self-care, back out to primary care, and because we're not able to not necessarily manage them, but offer them the right management within the emergency department. Okay, so the evidence around the system, there is certainly a growing body of evidence. There have been numerous studies that have looked at the accuracy of the decision-making. We had said at the outset that this was an accurate and reproducible system, and that's what we wanted. So it wouldn't matter if you went into an emergency department in the middle of Manchester, you would still receive the same priority based on your clinical presentation if you'd walked into an emergency department in London. So we really wanted that kind of national profile. Again, so patients were receiving the right level of care, the right priority, wherever they went throughout the UK. So we've looked at some issues around reliability and reproducibility. And I think one of the greatest strengths really has been the internal validity, certainly within the United Kingdom, which obviously had to grow because we just put the system in there and then we tested the system in its infancy and as it developed, whereas the external validity has come from those countries that literally went round the world and looked at many, many different systems, systems from the US, from Canada, from Australia, and made a conscious decision to choose Manchester Triage for very different reasons for different countries, I'll be honest. And they have done national audits and their own, developing their own evidence around the system to give us that external validity. There is also another really important piece of evidence in that we calculated that in the United Kingdom, approximately 8 million patients a year are triaged using the Manchester Triage system. So you have this massive body of evidence which you can look at, again, the reproducibility of those decisions. And as yet, there has not been any test case which has seriously challenged the system itself in terms of triage decision making. It has been used because it's a gold standard across the UK and in other countries. It has been used in test cases, in legal cases, where patients or patients' relatives have challenged the decisions of clinicians, and because they're given a category, they always go back to triage. Whether it's got any bearing on the case whatsoever, they go back to triage. And we have yet to have been directly criticised for the outcome decision based on the system. Very often when the outcome decision has been wrong, what has been blamed has been human error. And had they stuck to the standard, then the patient would have been given the right level of priority. In terms of documentation, obviously extremely important that we have the right level of documentation. I think it's become very specific, it's very guided. Because the nurses use a number of those discriminators, and they choose, so it could be pain on weight bearing, it could be cardiac chest pain, it could be history of unconsciousness. These are all kind of nationally known terms and terminologies. So we're using very specific and very guided language. And basically what that means is it means the same things to different clinicians around the whole of the UK. Another really useful thing that I think has happened is it's prevented the negative reporting. I used to look at triage records of my nurses when I was teaching them how to triage, and I would find a whole page full of things that had not happened to that patient. They haven't had, you know, they haven't lost consciousness, they haven't done this, they haven't done that. And I get to the bottom, and the question would be, what have they done? So we'd have an awful lot of negative reporting, and that's changed that very, very consciously. They now write specifically what the patient has, what the patient's presented with, what the patient's specific problems are. So much more purposeful documentation. And if you've got 8 million patients a year being triaged by the same system, by the same gold standard, that is legally extremely, extremely powerful. So if you as a triage nurse are using one system, then you will be tested against that standard. And if you use it appropriately, you should feel safe in the knowledge that that system actually will support your decision making. And certainly we've seen that in many, many cases where there has been potential litigation. One thing that I will say is that the system becomes even more robust when we use computer decision support software. I did a huge study of part of my MSc thesis, and I looked at accuracy of hospitals using Manchester Triage dependent on whether they used the system as a computer database or whether they were using the manual system. So they were trying to remember all the components of the triage system. And certainly there was much greater accuracy in those departments that use the computer decision support software. And one of the strangest questions I'd asked many of the nurses, if you have a manual system, do you use the book? You know, we have the Manchester Triage book. And they said, no way. I would not sit in front of the patient and open the book because they would think that I was a stupid person and I wouldn't know what I was doing. They may retrospectively look, the patient goes away and they may open the book quickly to see if they've made the right decision. So I said, so if I was to give you exactly the same flow diagram on a computer screen, would you be happy to use that? Oh yes, patients will think I am really smart because I can use a computer. So, and I guess that's just the kind of mentality, but we've certainly seen an increase in their accuracy. And also, if every time they choose a presentation flowchart, that flowchart appears on the computer screen, and those nurses will automatically become much more familiar with the system because every time they triage a patient, they have to look at that chart. So they were much more likely to really know every component, all of those general and specific discriminators. And there is also a really important element that the more you reduce the risk of nurses making arbitrary decisions, then the safer the decision making becomes and the much more robust method of giving the patient the right clinical priority. And it was really interesting to look again at the accuracy rates. It was startlingly different between the manual systems and the computerized systems. And you would find that many of the nurses were actually using the right discriminators. They were triaging very, very appropriately. But then they would decide on a triage priority that actually didn't match the level of acuity and the clinical priority of the patient because they could do that. With the computer system, it automatically defaults to the clinical priority dependent upon what the decisions you've put in there. There are a couple of kind of do's and don'ts of this system that I just wanted to highlight. And the first one is this, that Manchester Triage is a system, and it isn't just this unique activity that happens at the door of the emergency department. You need all the components for optimum efficiency. And whenever I've been asked to visit units that say MTS just doesn't work for us, when I go there, I find that more often than not, physicians have moved some of the discriminators around categories, particularly the cardiologists wanted all of the cardiac categories much higher, and all the paediatric categories move much higher. And basically, that's not about clinical priority. That was about specific activities within specific streams of patients and patient priorities. So they disable the system, basically, if they do that. So we want them to use the flowcharts as they were designed. I mean, the consensus opinion process took us over, I can't tell you how many thousands of hours we spent going over and over and over those charts. And we've just done that again as part of the second edition. And pain assessment is an integral part of this. And people were not happy at the very beginning of Manchester Triage because they felt that we would increase the number of patients in the higher categories because patients would say they had really severe pain when actually they didn't. I'll talk about that in 1 second. Manchester Triage is not a protocol. It guides your decision making. And when it's used as a protocol, I think it's quite dangerous because almost nurses are saying, well, if it's not in that box, then it can't be. One of the things MTS doesn't do is make triage robots. Nurses still have to make some good clinical decisions, but they use this to guide those decisions. And it can't replace those assessment skills. And this, for another reason, we've said that nurses should not be triaging using this system until they've had at least 12 months emergency nursing experience, because for the first time we had something we could teach our junior nurses. Many hospitals thought that they could literally come out of nursing school and start to be triage nurses with really, really bad results and quite dangerous for the patients. Because you still have to know about the presentation of patients to ask the right questions, and that was the breadth of knowledge that those very, very junior nurses didn't have. They needed assessment skills, they needed ED experience, they needed to see the patterns of patients arriving in the emergency department to be able to, first of all, recognise the normal presentation of a patient with acute abdominal pain, but also be able to acknowledge when that patient didn't look like the same presentation and they felt that something different was happening to that patient. And they all go through a lengthy triage training to make those accurate decisions. And I said that we'd included pain as an important part of this process, and it's classed as one of the general discriminators. There are 5 general discriminators that apply to every single one of the charts. So in every single one of the charts, we use pain as a discriminator. So if you have severe pain, you will come out in priority 2. Moderate pain will be priority 3, and any recent mild pain, you would come out at priority 4. And certainly before we switched to the computer system, it was the most cited error for patients being given the most inappropriate clinical priority. Nurses were not happy about giving them high levels. But it was absolutely the most common complaint of the patient. So what we've tried to do by introducing this component is to match the patient's pain with the clinical priority. And to do that, we've had to offer patients analgesia at triage or rapid analgesia, which may influence their triage category very quickly. So the triage system is dynamic, and as I said, it's not meant to be just that activity that happens at the door. Patients continue to be triage reassessed, whatever you want to call it, from admission to discharge. And it's to really keep that cycle of assessment going while the patient is there. So reassessment is a real key principle. 2 of the big benefits, I would say, of using any formal system like this is the fact that you have a system that's auditable. And for us, not only do we audit individual nurses, the emergency department in terms of accuracy and reliability, but we can also benchmark across regions because we're all using the same standard. Once you acknowledge that they're all making the same decisions based on the same tool, you can start to see how appropriate it is across different hospitals. The other really useful thing is it's certainly revealed our case mix. It's helped us look at the levels of dependency. We've actually found in a number of hospitals that the level of acuity of patients is significantly higher than we'd actually thought. We used to think we had something like, 30 to 40% of patients in the much higher categories and 60 and 70% of patients in the much lower minor cases. And what we're seeing in the UK now is that it is almost 50-50. And it's helped us in many ways to argue for increased staffing resources based on that information. So it certainly helps us with our national indicators. But if I was to say one of the most important aspects of this system, of the Manchester Triage system, it has to be this risk assessment tool. It is the best risk assessment tool that we use in the emergency department. And because it's used in so many different societies and in so many different ways, it certainly is a gold standard. And it reveals patient priority based on clinical need, not time, not disposal, not what we have to do with them in 2 hours, 3 hours, 6 hours, but what the patient needs now and at this time. It sorts the most urgent cases from those cases that could possibly be delayed, could go to different services and could wait. And I think that triage will remain this important risk management tool until the very day when our resources within the emergency department actually meet the demand of the number of patients that we have. And when I come on to talk about my next presentation, you'll see why I've made that comment. So the future for MTS, we have just finished our consensus board. Again, this time we've had both the internal reference group, which is the original Manchester Triage Group. We've had an international and external reference group, which has really added some different challenges this time, but certainly has strengthened the system. There are very few changes, but there is a different look to the way that the system is run. And we've incorporated much of the evidence that we didn't have in the first edition. Okay, so to conclude, these are the advantages. MTS has been widely adopted as a gold standard. There is growing international use. We have plenty of evidence now that looks at the reproducibility and the accuracy of the actual system. It is that key element, which is the risk assessment tool of priority resources. And finally, it just makes good clinical sense. Thank you.